Good evening, night owls and thrill seekers. Welcome to another spine-chilling episode of our scary stories. Tonight, we peel back the foggy veil of reality to venture into a world where unspeakable horrors lurk in the mists that envelop a quiet coastal town. I am your host, guiding you through the labyrinth of dread, where not even the briny sea can wash away the stains of fear. Settle in, grip your armrests, and extinguish all lights, except for one, perhaps. You may need it to fend off what emerges from the shape in the fog. Jack leaned over the side of his weathered fishing boat, the Mystic Lady, and examined the clear morning water below. The vessel gently rocked, as if lulled by the ocean's breath. Sunlight spangled the waves, infusing the air with a salty mist that tasted of ancient journeys and untold mysteries. Havenbrook's coast was a mere silhouette on the horizon, a sleepy, indistinct smudge that separated sea from sky. Ah, the perfect catch awaits, he muttered to himself, wiping his brow with a rough hand. He felt a companionship with the sea that most in his coastal village of Havenbrook could never understand. They loved the ocean for its bounty but feared its depths. Jack loved it for the very mysteries they shied away from. He checked his fishing nets and lines, making sure everything was primed for a day of solitary work. But as he turned to grab his thermos of coffee, he noticed something. A distant bank of fog, unlike any he had ever seen. It was dense and nearly impenetrable, like an ashy cloud had descended to kiss the surface of the sea. The water around the fog seemed restless, agitated. "That's strange," he whispered. He took a sip of his coffee, but found that it tasted like ashes in his mouth. His eyes narrowed as he observed the fish leaping away from the mist, their scales glinting like panicked shards of sunlight. Jack felt a pull of curiosity, a fisherman's inquisitiveness that had so often led him to hidden fishing spots. But this felt different, as if he were a moth contemplating a flame not of this world. Rational thought warred with innate curiosity as he weighed the cautionary tales of sea monsters and phantom ships, stories told and dismissed around Havenbrook's dinner tables. Eventually, curiosity won. Maybe there's a logical explanation, he thought, and cautiously steered the Mystic Lady closer to the enigmatic fog. The boat's motor hummed a reluctant dirge, as if protesting this venture into the unknown. As he entered the wall of mist, the temperature dropped abruptly. He shivered, feeling as if icy fingers were caressing his spine. Visibility reduced to mere feet, and even the sound seemed swallowed, leaving an oppressive silence. And then he saw it, barely distinguishable in the swirling vapors, a monstrous shape that seemed to pulsate with a life of its own. It was colossal, darker than the mist yet amorphous, its shape constantly shifting, like a shadow searching for a form. His heart plummeted into his stomach. This was no ordinary sea creature, no giant squid or misidentified whale. It was something older, darker, a thing of nightmares made flesh. A shapeless terror that defied comprehension. Turn back. Turn back now. His instincts screamed, drowning out the dread that sought to paralyze him. He fumbled with the controls, reversing the boat with a guttural roar from the engine. The shape lunged forward, stretching out tendrils of darkness, and Jack felt his fishing gear being yanked into the abyss. But he was moving, away, away from the horror. He burst out of the fog bank like a man escaping a tomb, and he didn't stop until the ominous mist was but a gray blur in the distance. His body shook, not from the cold but from an unnameable fear that he knew would haunt him for the rest of his life. As the Mystic Lady sped towards Havenbrook, Jack wrestled with a new, equally terrifying thought. I have to warn them. They have to know. His mind went to Mayor Thomas, a man as sturdy and unmovable as a boulder, to Reverend Emily, whose spiritual guidance often conflicted with Jack's more unorthodox views, and to countless others who would dismiss him as a madman or a fool. He considered staying silent, letting the villagers live their lives in blissful ignorance. But as he glanced back at the disappearing fog, a shiver crawled up his spine, a bone-deep chill that told him the shape was not just his problem, it was Havenbrook's impending doom. And so, he steeled himself for the ridicule, the scorn, and the disbelief. Because even if he stood alone against an insidious terror, he would stand. So he sailed onward, each wave carrying him closer to a destiny interwoven with ancient fears and whispered folklore, a destiny that would test the very fabric of his community. Yet, what weighed heavier on his mind was not how Havenbrook would confront the unknown, but whether it even could. Jack's boots thudded against the worn wooden planks of the harbor as he disembarked from the Mystic Lady. The atmosphere in Havenbrook felt heavy, as though the air itself were thick with skepticism. Faces peered at him from the windows of quaint seaside homes, eyes narrowing at the urgency in his step. He made his way to the town hall, a centuries-old building that looked as if it were crafted from the very rock upon which the village stood. Its walls, a weather-beaten gray, matched the stormy eyes of Mayor Thomas, who sat at the head of an elongated oak table in the council chamber. Flanking him were key members of the community, Reverend Emily, whose kind smile seemed a touch forced today, Patricia, the owner of the local inn, and a few other prominent citizens. They all looked up as Jack entered, his face etched with a concern that grabbed their attention, but also intensified their inherent skepticism. "Jack, this better be important. You interrupted a discussion on this year's Fisherman's Festival," Mayor Thomas grumbled, gesturing for him to proceed. Gathering his resolve, Jack recounted his tale. He spoke of the unnatural mist, the fleeing fish, and the shadowy monstrosity that defied description. His words hung in the room, like dark clouds threatening a downpour. "I tell you, something's out there, something we don't understand. And it's moving this way." A loaded silence followed his proclamation, finally broken by a scoff from Patricia. "Have you been testing the local brew a bit too early, Jack?" The room filled with forced laughter, a release of tension at the expense of Jack's credibility. Mayor Thomas adjusted his tie, clearly unimpressed. "Let's stick to real problems, shall we?" Reverend Emily was softer in her dismissal. "Maybe you saw something, Jack. The ocean holds many mysteries, not all meant for us to understand. We should focus on prayer and unity, not stir up panic over phantoms." But a new voice chimed in, softer than the rest, yet tinged with curiosity. "Hold on," Olivia interrupted, adjusting her glasses as she closed an ancient ledger she had been perusing. As the town historian and archivist, she was more familiar with Havenbrook's lore than anyone else. Her intelligence was a lantern in the fog of ignorance, often dimmed by the town's unappreciation. "What Jack describes, vaguely, I might add, seems to correlate with some old sailors' tales, myths of a dark presence beneath the waves." Olivia's remark hung in the air, casting momentary doubt on the faces around the table. Mayor Thomas leaned back, eyeing her skeptically. "You're not suggesting we take this seriously." "I'm suggesting," she said, returning his gaze, "that maybe our history has something to teach us about our present." Jack felt a glimmer of hope, an unexpected ally in a sea of disbelief. Before any more could be said, however, the room's attention was caught by a strange phenomenon outside the window. All eyes turned to witness the sun dipping below the horizon, its golden rays clashing unnaturally with a wall of fog that had crept dangerously close to the shoreline. The resulting sunset was a monstrous blend of beauty and dread, casting the ocean in shades of blood and fire. The room fell silent, each individual grappling with an uneasy feeling that they couldn't shake off, a feeling that something was irrevocably wrong, not just with the sea, but with the very foundation of their community. "Maybe," Olivia finally broke the silence, "we should consider that some warnings, no matter how unbelievable, are worth heeding." As darkness enveloped the town, replacing the haunting hues of the sky, Jack couldn't help but wonder if that eerie sunset was a harbinger of things to come. The fog lingered, closer now, as though listening, waiting. And whether Havenbrook was ready or not, it seemed the shape in the fog was poised to reveal itself. The mist was no longer a distant curiosity. It had encroached upon Havenbrook's shores, enveloping the coastline in a blanket of white that seemed to muffle sound and dull the colors of the world. A stifling tension clung to the air, more oppressive than any humidity the villagers had ever felt. That morning, Sarah Thompson, a local teenager known for her vibrant personality, failed to return from her early jog along the beach. The weight of her absence added gravity to the fog's ominous presence, transforming it from abstract peril to immediate threat. A town meeting was called in haste, the gathering taking place in the square. Townspeople huddled in clusters, eyeing their neighbors with suspicion as whispers cut through the thick air. Mayor Thomas stood before them, attempting to project an air of calm control, though the subtle tremor in his voice betrayed his apprehension. "Let's not jump to conclusions," he said, squinting into the crowd. "The authorities are looking into Sarah's disappearance. In the meantime, we should do something about that fog." A voice yelled out, triggering murmurs of agreement. "It's cursed. That's what it is," Reverend Emily interjected, raising her hands to plead for spiritual unity. We should turn to prayer and faith, not point fingers or spread rumors. But the crowd was past the point of easy placation. Arguments broke out, some called for scientific investigation, some for religious intervention, and others for immediate, aggressive action. The very fabric of the community seemed to fray before everyone's eyes. Enough, Jack shouted, surprising even himself with his vehemence. Arguing won't solve anything. We need to understand what we're dealing with. Olivia, standing next to an old wooden cart laden with books and manuscripts, nodded her agreement. Jack's right. I've looked into the lore. There might be answers, or at least hints, in these texts. Ignoring the skeptical glances thrown their way, Jack and Olivia retreated to the local library, a modest, ancient structure filled with the scent of musty pages and wood polish. They spread texts across a heavy oak table, leafing through weathered pages in a race against time. The room was dim, lit only by the amber glow of a vintage desk lamp and the dying light filtering through the foggy windows. Hours seemed to blend into one another until Olivia's finger froze on a line in a manuscript, her eyes widening. Here it is, she whispered, her voice tinged with a blend of excitement and dread. It talks about an entity that dwells in the shroud of mist, its hunger ceaseless, quenched only by the life force it devours. It says, it demands a sacrifice. Jack looked up, his face ashen. Are we prepared to face that kind of evil? Do we even have a choice? Before they could grapple with the enormity of their discovery, a clamor erupted from the harbor. Rushing to the scene, they found the townspeople gathered in a semicircle, staring at the water in disbelief. Two fireboats were out at sea, launching plumes of water into the fog in an effort to disperse it. For a moment, it seemed to work. The fog retreated, curling away from the streams of water as if afraid. But then, with a roar that seemed to come from the very bowels of the earth, a shadowy form surged upward within the mist. The fog responded, thickening and expanding with furious speed, engulfing both fireboats in seconds. A moment later, the fog retreated to reveal nothing but empty sea. The fireboats and their crews had vanished. The crowd gasped in collective horror, the grim reality settling in. They were utterly powerless against this malevolent force. This is far from over, Jack muttered, his eyes meeting Olivia's. Yes, she replied solemnly, and I fear it's going to get much worse. The fog seemed to pulsate in the distance, as if mocking their feeble attempts to comprehend its dark nature. Inside that swirling mist lurked a force beyond their understanding. But one thing was chillingly clear, it had made its presence known, and Havenbrook would never be the same again. Havenbrook had transformed from a tranquil coastal hamlet into a den of chaos. As the fog circled ominously in the distance, Mayor Thomas convened another emergency meeting. This time inside the town hall, its rich wood paneling and vintage chandeliers a stark contrast to the grim faces below. We need to act, Mayor Thomas declared, his voice laced with urgency, his eyes scanning the room. We've seen what this thing can do, it's a matter of life and death. Suggestions erupted from the crowd, each more desperate than the last. What if we send out animals, a sort of offering? Suggested Mr. Peterson, the local butcher, avoiding eye contact with anyone. We're past that point. Maybe we should think of criminals, people who won't be missed, said Officer Daniels, his voice laden with unease. Or volunteers, whispered Mrs. Carter, the school librarian, wringing her hands together. If someone is willing to go, to save the rest of us. The room went silent, the weight of what was being proposed sinking in. Could they, as a community, bear such an act? What kind of people would they become? Jack stood up, his eyes meeting Olivia's, who had just returned from another round of frantic research. She had a tome tucked under her arm, its pages yellowed and brittle with age. I've uncovered something even more unsettling, Olivia began, flipping open the ancient tome to a worn page filled with symbols and esoteric script. The entity doesn't just want any sacrifice. It seeks a worthy offering. The text isn't clear on what makes a sacrifice worthy, but it implies a choice that tests the moral fabric of the community. The room descended into an even more ominous silence. The entity was playing a diabolical game, one that dug deep into the soul of the town, tearing at the fragile threads holding Havenbrook together. I say we try it. We can't let this thing take more lives, said Mayor Thomas, breaking the hush. His eyes were tired, his brow etched with a resigned dread. Do we have a volunteer? A deathly quiet filled the room, the atmosphere thick with tension. Finally, Mr. Green, the owner of the local diner and a widower with no children, stood up. I'll do it, he said solemnly, if it means saving the town. The hall emptied in a muted procession, leading Mr. Green toward the fog-laden shore. A makeshift altar of driftwood and stones was constructed. With a heavy heart, Jack led the incantations, his voice quivering, echoed by Olivia's softer timbre. As the final words were spoken, Mr. Green stepped into the fog. For a moment, the mist seemed to convulse, spiraling inward as if contemplating the offering. Then, with a violent burst, it rejected him, propelling Mr. Green back onto the shore, unconscious but alive. A collective wail of despair rose from the crowd. Their desperate gambit had failed. Why didn't it work? Jack pondered aloud, his eyes meeting Olivia's, both of them searching for an answer they didn't have. Because it's toying with us, Olivia said, her voice choked with dread. We have no idea what makes a worthy sacrifice to such an entity. As they spoke, a sudden, chilling realization swept over the crowd. The fog, once content to loom at a distance, had begun to close in, forming a ring around the entire village. Phones were useless, calls to the outside world went unanswered. They were cut off, imprisoned in their own homes, their own lives, their own moral dilemmas. Jack gripped Olivia's hand, her fingers trembling within his. Together, they watched the fog swirl, as if tightening a noose around the collective neck of the town. The message was clear. Havenbrook was now in its own world, a realm where morality, sanity, and hope were as elusive as a dissipating mist. And somewhere within that encroaching fog, a dark presence laughed. The fog had shrunk its boundary by another mile, and the town was choking in its claustrophobic grip. What used to be a bustling main street was now desolate, businesses abandoned, and shop windows boarded up. Grocery stores had been raided, and the scarcity of resources was as visible as the growing lines at the community water pump. It was at the town square, amidst a frenetic atmosphere of despair and frustration, that Olivia stood to speak. Her eyes were weary but resolute as she opened the ancient tome before her. I've been doing some more research, she began, her voice trembling only slightly. There's a passage here, a sort of riddle. It suggests that the entity seeks a selfless act, a conscious surrender to fate, an altruistic sacrifice. Murmurs and anxious glances spread through the crowd, like ripples in a pond. So, it's not enough to be a volunteer. You have to truly understand what you're sacrificing. And for whom, she continued, her eyes meeting Jack's. A bolt of understanding flashed between them. The square was silent, except for the distant sound of the sea wrestling against the omnipresent fog. Finally, Jack stood up. I'll do it, he said, his voice unwavering. A wave of gasps and whispers swept through the crowd, but he silenced them with a raised hand. I've lived in this town my entire life. These waters, this community, it's a part of me. If my sacrifice saves Havenbrook, then I consider it a worthy trade. Emotion tightened Olivia's face, but she nodded, supporting his choice. The weight of the moment seemed to still the air, as if even the wind understood the gravity of Jack's words. The townspeople, though bereft of easy answers, united in a subdued chorus of agreement. As before, a procession moved towards the waterfront, but this time with a profound sense of ritualistic solemnity. Jack stood before the driftwood altar, the same incantations spoken, but his eyes met Olivia's one last time before he stepped into the fog. Thank you, he mouthed silently, and she nodded, tears streaming down her face. The fog reacted differently this time. It quivered and pulsed, as if scrutinizing the essence of the man before it. And then, almost gently, it enveloped Jack, swallowing him whole before retreating like a tide pulling back from the shore. He was gone, but the town remained. Yet something was off. The fog didn't disappear, it merely retreated to the horizon, lurking there as a constant reminder. And in that moment, a new, unsettling understanding dawned upon the faces of the Havenbrook residents. Olivia, her voice tinged with a bitter mix of relief and dread, encapsulated what they all were thinking. It's not over. This may happen again, maybe years from now, maybe generations. But we've learned something, haven't we? Those gathered around shared uncomfortable nods. The entity had shown them not only the fragility of their lives, but the depth of their values. Jack had given them a gift, a future, however uncertain. As people dispersed, lost in their thoughts and grappling with their newfound reality, Olivia sat alone, staring out at the horizon where fog met sky. Jack had been right, the sea and the town were inseparable, forever linked in a cycle of beauty and terror. And now, as the designated keeper of this terrifying knowledge, she sensed a daunting responsibility descend upon her. the entity would return, of that she was sure. But when it did, Havenbrook would be ready, armed not just with ancient tomes but a living testament to courage and sacrifice. And somewhere out there, where the sea kissed the lurking mist, she hoped Jack had found his peace. But for Havenbrook, peace was a tale for another day. For now, they had to live with their choice and the haunting mist that loomed in the distance, a silent, watchful guardian of their collective conscience. Weeks turned into months, and the denizens of Havenbrook eked their way back into a life that could almost be described as ordinary. The fishing boats returned to the waters, children played on the outskirts of town, and commerce sluggishly resumed. But there was a hollowness to these activities, a subtle hesitation that lurked in exchanged glances and unfinished sentences. Everyone felt it, the unspoken agreement that their lives had been purchased at a price so steep it defied comprehension. Olivia found herself the reluctant steward of a tragic legacy. She cataloged Jack's final days, his decision, the theories, and the myths into the town's historical records. She knew it would serve as both a warning and a guide for whatever generation would face the fog next. Her hands trembled as she penned the last sentences, her ink-stained fingers a stark contrast to the parchment's pallor. With a sigh, she closed the aged tome, its leathery cover creaking like the timbers of a ship long at sea. Havenbrook remained isolated, cut off not by treacherous fog but by a world that couldn't, wouldn't, understand. Satellite imagery showed an inexplicable atmospheric anomaly over the area, leading the government to declare it a no-fly zone. For all intents and purposes, the world thought Havenbrook was a quarantined aberration. The citizens only half joked that they were, in many ways, the modern-day Atlantis, sinking not beneath waves but into obscurity and folklore. On an overcast afternoon, tinged with the gold and amber hues of impending dusk, Olivia found herself at the edge of the sea, her gaze lingering where water met sky. Would the fog return in her lifetime? Would they be ready? These questions circled in her mind like predatory birds, unwilling to settle. Her thoughts deepened, fueled by a heavier question, one that carried the weight of both philosophical quandary and moral indictment. Could human nature itself evolve? Could a society ever reach a point where collective wisdom transcended the need for individual sacrifice? She found no answer in the lapping waves or the horizon's faint line. She found no resolution in the whispering wind or the sand that yielded under her contemplative steps. And yet, she felt a strange, nebulous sense of hope. It was as though the sea, in its infinite complexity, held untapped possibilities, solutions still to be discovered, lessons yet to be learned. She was anchored to this spot not just by duty or fate, but by a belief, however fragile, that understanding could, someday, displace dread. But for now, she turned back towards Havenbrook, its light starting to twinkle as day conceded to night. The town looked deceptively serene from this distance, its scarred psyche hidden behind walls of silence and shadow. She took a final look at the darkening horizon, where the fog had once emerged, a spectral enigma born from the sea's unknowable depths. It was still out there, she knew, waiting, watching, perhaps even pondering its strange relationship with the humans who dared inhabit its domain. And so, as night enveloped the land, Olivia walked back, leaving footprints on the shore that would soon be washed away, but carrying thoughts that would linger, indelible and haunting, like a fog yet to lift. And so, we leave the dimly lit corridors of Havenbrook, a town forever shrouded in questions and, quite literally, enshrouded in mist. What lingering echoes will resound within you, dear listener? What fog of your own might you be unwilling to peer into? This concludes tonight's unsettling journey on our scary stories. Remember, some shapes can be forgotten, some mists can clear, but the tales we share here, they haunt you long after you think you've escaped. Until next time, sleep well if you can. This is our Scary Stories signing off for tonight.